There's seven things about a golem and seven things about a chacham. There's a contrast between seven things that are characteristics of a golem and these same seven things in their opposite expression are characteristic of a chacham. So it mentions what they are. Chacham einu medaber b'fnei mi shegolem imenu b'chachma b'minya. Chacham doesn't speak in front of a person that's greater than him in knowledge or in numbers. What does it mean? Is knowledge or numbers? Okay, this is a simple word. What does it mean? No. He says a chacham does not speak before an individual who is greater than him in knowledge or in numbers. One shot that mentions age. Meaning means age. You have two chacham, but one is an older chacham. So there's the one that's an older chacham is generally we don't respect age. I mean, it's a mistake. That's a goyish idea to respect a person that's older. But if a person is a chacham, if two people, the only time you have respect for age is when two people are chacham. What? Well, da'at b'nei zaken is not a tam chacham. It means he's a ben shivim. But not a person that's 35 over a person that's 16. And it's wrong when teachers tell kids, you know, they say that you have to respect your elders. It's not true. There's no law like that. You have to respect the person that's more intelligent than you, not an elder. The only time you have machlaikis is if the person is a ben shivim, that's a machlaikis tanayim. The person is 70 years old, or the Rambam says, odom muflo bezikna, a person that's an aged individual. So we paskin, you have to respect even a guy, a fila amoy, even a guy. You have to stand up for an eater, after an eater. Why? Because he lived through so many experiences. Come up a kayov alaya. How many experiences does this individual have? Even though he didn't gain from the experience. Could be. But it means to say that it represents Birkas Hashem. It represents the blessing of God, that God exposed him to these experiences. That's machlokes tanaim. Some say no. It means zokin zeshkan achachm. But there's no one that holds that you have to respect someone because they are simply older than you. It's not respect your elders in terms of if a teacher is 40 years old and a child is 15, that the child has to have respect for the teacher because he's 40, he's older than him. There's no halacha like that. That's a mistake. The teachers use that, but they should really say respect him because he's more intelligent. It's really degradation to them with respect to elders. If I'm older, that's all I am is older. But there is a halacha. There is a halacha of age with regards to two chachamim. Two chachamim are people are both pursuing chachma, one is older, so then there's a halacha of age. There it's different because we say that a person is a chacham really, so it means that only if the person is not a wise individual, so the fact that he's older doesn't mean anything. That's true, he went through more experiences, but experience only has a value if the person has the knowledge to gain from experience. What value is it? Just goes through experience, doesn't mean anything. But if you have two people that are chachamim, then there's a halacha of an older chacham, because it means that since they're both chachamim, so the one that has more experience has to have gained more because of the experience. There you find a lot like that. So that's one shot in the minyan. There's another shot in the minyan. Another shot in the minyan is the same shot like the bezin. A bezin that's girdled the chachmo the minyan. There's a lot that a bezin can't revoke a decision made by a previous bezin unless it is greater than the previous bezin in wisdom and knowledge and in numbers. So the question, of course, is how can a bezin be bigger in numbers? There's a fixed number to a bezin. 71. Bezin shouldn't be 171 can't be greater than another 71. It has to be equal. So how can it be greater? So that's what the halacha says, that it means elu ha-talmidim. It means the talmidim and the chachomim, the chachmei ador and the talmidim of the bezin, that learned from them and that were also involved in the psach, in the maskim for the psach, the Ramzah. So it means over here like this. It means that over here, chachma b'minyan means. Chachma means in wisdom, and minyan means the number of talmidim that the person has. The number of talmidim that the person has. Number talmidim. But of course, it doesn't mean just the number. You have hundreds of people, hundreds of talmidim. It means the quality of the number of talmidim. Quality of the number of talmidim. Okay. So that's Allah. Chachma b'minyan. And minyan means number, but it doesn't just mean number. It means the numbers that have value. Okay. So that's what applies to individuals. So if you have two individuals that are both equal in chachma, but one is greater in terms of his talmidim, he has greater talmidim. So the one that has greater talmidim is on a higher level. So a chacham doesn't speak before an individual who's greater than him in knowledge, or if he's equal in knowledge, even if he's greater than him in terms of his talmidim. There's a place that says that why are we talking like a certain mandama? The place that says because he was a great Rosh Hashiva, and he had many talmidim. There's a place that says that he was on a higher level in terms of pshat, because the talmidim is a very special kind of pupil chaverim. Yeah. In Job. So it's a different type of a perfection in thought. It's a specific kind of perfection in thought. That's one thing. That's one reason. But there's another reason also, because the Rambam says in the Maran Avuchim, he says that. What he says is not easy to understand, but I'm just taking it axiomatically now. He says like this. He says that a person that is a greater person can help others to a greater degree. It's an interesting Rambam. Whereas Rambam says that there's a person that can have a certain measure of greatness where he can help himself. But then he says if he has a higher measure of greatness, and he's capable of helping others as well. The Rambam is trying to answer a difficult question there. What is bothering the Rambam is how is it possible for a person to help others in terms of that it should be altruistic. So the Rambam answers the way that there's a certain kind of help that comes to others from the person's own level. In the person's own level. That's what the Rambam posits. I'm not going to go into the idea right now. But the point is, insofar as Talmud Torah is concerned, it's also true. That the person that has more Talmudim, it means that he's reached a higher level as a gavra of Talmud Torah. Because his Talmud Torah has reached such a level that he was even able to help others in Talmud Torah. So it's a higher level. And the greater the person, the more it's reflected in his ability to be Ma'abit Torah. So that's another dimension to it. But that's the halacha. The halacha is this gadol b'chachma b'minyan. So the talmidim. So then he's on a higher level, and the person who's on a lower level will not speak in front of him. That's the first one. Okay. Ve'einam nichnas l'tov divrei chaveiro. Second thing is he doesn't interrupt his father. In other words, when his friend is talking, he doesn't try to hurry him along. He gives him a chance to express himself, and he doesn't interrupt him. He listens to what he has to say, and then he says his piece. Okay. Then ve'eino nivo lo hashu. Ve'eino nivo lo hashu. Ve'eino nivo lo hashu means that... This doesn't mean in the sphere, by the way. Okay. In the sphere, sometimes you have to cut somebody's ears, you know. They ain't never lost you. Come and talk about it. They ain't never lost you. It means in a regular situation. It means a normal situation. I'm serious. It means in a normal situation. So he doesn't interrupt the person in a normal situation. The person's talking to him, he doesn't interrupt him. Okay. Then Shoel, then Nivalashiv, it means another thing. Then Nivalashiv means that he doesn't the way the is too short in here. The claim shavin of Elashev means he doesn't answer quickly. He doesn't hurry. He doesn't give a quick answer. That's the Rabbeinu Yonah's shah. Rabbeinu Yonah says it means that he thinks over very carefully. He doesn't answer something until it's 100% clear. That's what it means. He says, Va'al yamar lahotzi dover ad sheyiye borot ha-shemesh lefonot. Right? Until it's as clear as the sun. It means to say, that's a very special tradition that we have in Yadis, in Talmud Torah. They have a very special idea of what Chochmah is. In the world, Chochmah is, you're considered wise if you could come up with a theory, a new theory, so you're considered very intelligent. But how one expresses that theory is not really that important in the scientific community. In other words, if you can explain it in a way that people understand it, that's other scientists understand it, it's good enough. In other words, people accept it. But we have a very special tradition with regard to Chacham. And that is in our formulation of ideas, there's another requirement, that it must be Baruch Hashem. It must be a clarity of Machshava. It must be so clear, like the Chaim Bisker used to say, that if you can't explain an idea to a 10-year-old, if you can't explain a story to a 10-year-old, there's something like it. And that's the truth. Why it means to say that the greatest theoretician, the greatest thinker, has to have his thought so purified, so clear, that the idea is concise and clear that even a kid can understand it. Even a child can understand it. Once he goes through all the abstractions, he has to be able to reduce it to its ultimate clarity. The mind has to see it. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. That's a requirement in the process of Talmud Torah. It's not enough to come up with the idea. Come up with a nice long taste. Somebody can hear. You understand what I mean? You hear what I'm saying? That's good enough. Not good enough. It's not. In learning, it's not. In learning, a Rebbe has to make things so crystal clear that even a youngster should be able to understand. That's our Masorah, our tradition of thinking, of thought. So that's what the Rabbeinu Yonah says. Rabbeinu Yonah says, "Veinu nivala hashem." What does he mean, nivala hashem? If he's nivala hashem, it doesn't mean he's not going to give a good answer. He's giving a crazy answer. It's not called nivala hashem. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Now, "Veinu nivala hashem" means that he doesn't answer right away, quickly. You know, even though he has the answer, even though he can explain it, even though it makes sense, it's not enough. He waits until it reaches the nth degree of clarity, crystal clear. Baruch Hashem. You know, Von Cutler's that's all he used to say. Von Cutler used to give a shiur. So when you got very excited about an idea that he gave, it was Baruch Hashem is the Torah. And then there's a subtlety to that. It doesn't mean that any idea that a youngster can understand is not a good idea. It means to say that the youngster would be able to understand it if he was given the framework. Because like certain things, you have an idea in Erevin, so a 10-year-old won't be able to understand it. It's too complicated to understand it. But the idea should be clear in terms of the framework. If this young child would have the framework of what you're talking about, so then he'd be able to understand the idea. Doesn't mean simply, you learn the figures in Shas that are very abstract. But that's because you can't understand the phenomenon. But the idea in the framework has to be so clear that if a 10-year-old would have that framework, he'd be able to understand it right away. Let me explain it. Okay. So next is Sholo Ki'inu Meshav Kala. What does it mean? It means that the Shulchan Yemeshik Halacha, it means to say, I mean, the Rambam explains it, we'll get to the Rambam a little later, but it means to say, the Rambam explains it, it means to say that the person is perfect. He explains the thing, or he asks and he answers in the proper categorical frame. That's what it means. It means this: if a person gives an answer, or a person asks a question, many times a person asks a question around the area, but his category is not exact. His category is not precise, you see. And the same thing with giving an answer. There's a confusion of categories. For instance, I mean, the most common confusion that takes place is that those who are familiar with learning know that to answer a question, a lot of times you have to forget about the why of the question. The why of the question. Okay. Why is this so? Let's forget. First, let's take a look at the definition. What exactly is taking place? The categorical definition. What is going on here? Forget about why. Why is a disturbing question? But we have to forget about the problem and just try to define the phenomena. It means clear categorical thinking. That's what it means. Shoel ke'in imeshiv kalacha. He asks and he answers with extreme clarity of thought in terms of categorical, the category that he's speaking in. Okay? It means that his mind, the Rambam says about that, the Rambam, when he talks about that perfection, he says that, he gives an example. He says, lo yivakesh mofesh limudi b'chokhmas ha-teva v'lo t'ayna tivis b'chokhmas ha-limudis. He says, if the area that he's discussing is an area of, for instance, a factual area, so he won't ask for a theoretical explanation. Or if it's a theoretical area, he won't demand factual support. It means he knows every subject is different. If you're studying biology has a certain framework. If you're studying philosophy has another framework. Metaphysics has a different framework. He doesn't confuse his frameworks. He knows this area, this is an appropriate question, and this area, this is the type of thought that is appropriate. He knows each kind of thought, and he understands the type of thought that's appropriate to every area. In the halachic area, most of the confusion usually is the confusion between philosophy and halacha. That's the biggest confusion we find, generally speaking. People ask, why is this so? Why is this halacha so? They don't understand the system of halacha operates in its own orbit. It has its own system. And you have to know how to approach. There's a special way of thinking in halacha. And you can't ask philosophical questions when you're studying halacha. And vice versa. You can't take philosophy and make it into halacha. It's a different area, a different subject matter. So a chacham knows each subject exactly what the appropriate mode of thought is in each different subject. That's what the Rambam says. That's what the Rambam explains. Because he will not ask philosophical questions when he's discussing a subject matter that has to do with biology, for instance, or if he's in the philosophical framework, he won't ask for factual support. And he knows how to think, and each subject requires a specific type of approach. A person who's studying psychology, it's a certain type of thought in psychology. You won't mix in biology. He knows exactly, it's a different kind of a system. Each system of thought he approaches with its own type of reasoning. So the Rambam says, that a person to reach that level will never reach that level until he has reached excessive amount of wisdom, chokhmah yisera, tremendous amount of knowledge. Then he could do that, because that really means that the person is totally perfected in terms of thought. He knows how to think in each area, what's appropriate. So that's only a person that's a real scholar, a real chokhmah. So after years of learning, a person reaches that level. And he never messes up. He never makes a mistake. He never mixes one with the other. So that's so key to making a lot. When he asks a question, it's right on target.
in the area in the winter sort of the particular area? And he answers directly in the same way, the same manner. He says that requires years of learning in order for the mind to perfect itself, to reach that degree of perfection. Okay. Sometimes the two are related, but they're related in a very unique way. And if you have to be sensitive to the way it works. Like, for instance, in Zvachim, you have if you bring a carbon. So under certain circumstances, if the carbon isn't executed properly, so you lose the kiyum of havah. In other words, a person brings an ola to the Beis HaMikdash, and the person and the ola wasn't the performance of the how exactly it's supposed to be done, the avoda, the maisei ola, how they're supposed to be done, have a certain requirement. They have to be done with shema, for instance. The avoda has to be done for its own purpose. If it's an ola, so the avoda must be done for the purpose of an ola. Now, if it's not done properly, so halacha is that the baal, a korban, the owner of the korban, loses his fulfillment. He has to bring another korban. But the korban is still good. You can still go on with all the avoda that's necessary. You can still go on with it. Okay? So what is that? Why is that so? Why is that phenomenon so? Why is it the phenomenon? Why should it be that way? Either it's good or it's not good. I mean, if it was good from Ola, from the Beis HaMikdash, this Ola is valid, you could continue with the performance of the Ola on the Beis HaMikdash. So then why is it that the one who brought it has lost his mitzvah of bringing it? And now his obligation to bring it has not been fulfilled, and now he has to go ahead and he has to bring another Ola. So you see there's a cancellation of the institution of Havah. There's an institution in carbon, it's the institution of bringing the carbon. It means if the carbon wasn't brought properly, so this is not considered a gift, an offering. Now where do you see that? You see the Navi says. The Navi says that what's wrong with bringing a carbon that's balmum or that's a gezel? It says, but the pasuk says, so the Navi says that God says, vaveisim es a gezel ves a piseach ves a iver. If you bring to the Beis HaMikdash, you bring the stolen animal, and you bring the animal that's blemished. He says, hakrivein olafachasecha. He says, bring this. Would you bring this to an important person? A person you consider an important individual? You wouldn't do such a thing. So how could you bring this carbon to God? So you see, there's an institution of havah. There's an institution of bringing the carbon, which is one in an ethical sense, but it has a halachic institution. The ethical idea, see, the appropriate ethical idea became embodied in an institution of Havah, which is a purely halachic institution. But its source is, you might say, philosophical. So there is a transition many times from the philosophical to the halachic. But once you're in the halachic, you see, the philosophical can be the basis, the concept. The concept could be a philosophical origin. But once the halachic takes a hold of that idea, it works within it, on its own framework. Halacha works on its own framework. It becomes a completely logical abstraction, and it must be dealt with purely in halachic and logical terms. But it could have as a basis, it could have a philosophical source. See, that is possible. But so the two don't mix. The way of thinking in philosophy is not the same way of thinking in halacha. It's a different kind of thought. But the two do, there is a border, there is a transition between one and the other. But they still remain two separate realms. Is that what you mean? But Shaul King and the Mesh, that would be a perfect example. Shaul King and the Mesh with halacha. That's right. You're right. That happens to be true. That the biggest, the most renowned thinkers who go against our halachic system, they find fault with our halachic system, because they don't understand this idea. They don't understand this idea. They don't understand that the halacha is a separate system that takes off on its own, although it has ties at a certain point to philosophy. They fail to grasp that notion. That's why, for instance, you could say, just a minute, I can understand the pasuk, a person brought a carbon to God, and it was a piseach, it was a crippled carbon, so of course it's not proper to do such a thing. But what is it, the fault of the person who brought a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash in full earnestness, and the Kohen went along and didn't have an idea of Lishma? So why should he lose, this poor unfortunate fellow lose his Kiyum HaVo'ah, his fulfillment of HaVo'ah, and now he has to go bring another Olah? You see? But that a question like that shows the confusion between philosophy and halacha. Because in halacha, the institution becomes set up as a separate institution of HaVo'ah. It wasn't done properly. There's a chalish shem in the carbon. The carbon already has a designation. If it wasn't done properly, it has an improper halachic description. And therefore, it cannot serve as a part of the institution of Havah. We don't look anymore at the person emotionally. Say, he was a nice person, he was not a nice... The halacha can't deal with that, because then you have no system. Then there's no system. Halacha takes off on its own, and has its own logical system. The chal Hashem and the carbon. And if this chal Hashem is chal and the carbon, it's good. If it's not chal, it's no good. It takes off on its own completely. And has nothing to do with philosophy. That show kingdom measures halacha. A person has to grasp that concept. That's the main concept of Yadav. And all the modern thinkers that find fault with the system of halacha is basically because they don't grasp that notion. They don't know the difference. The Rama. Show kingdom measures halacha. They don't understand the difference between the system of halacha, which is a completely separate system, and between philosophy, which is a different system. Yadav incorporates both. But it deals with both in a very special way. And a person has to know how that way is before he can be able to show to him the Meshach Halacha. If not, there's a total confusion. Your Rebbe Minzer, that was the a lot of the modern criticisms of Yadus is really an extension of Korach Shibbalim. That was Korach Shibbalim. Korach Shibbalim was that the main thing is the philosophical ideas, and halacha doesn't make any difference. That's why he said, if a whole house is full of Sefer Torah, so what do you have to have a mezuzah on the door for? And then he wants the mezuzah in order to make him think of God. His house is full of work of the house, full of Sefer Torah. It makes him think of God more than a little mezuzah on the door. It's all kisvei kodesh. So the answer was, it was a denial of the system of halacha. Denial of the unique relationship that was given to us by God, this type of a system. It's not a man-made system. It's given to us by God, and that perfection takes place through this unique relationship between philosophy and halacha. Okay. Yes. And if I said before that the reason why you need halacha is because you have to have a system, I retract my statement. Because it's not true. Okay? The point is like this. Like, the reason why we need halacha, I can't really say why we need halacha. I can give you benefits of halacha. I can't say why we need halacha is because it's God-given, that this is the only system that man can really reach perfection through. And that's the system of halacha, the combination of halacha and philosophy. That was given to us by God as the system for human perfection. I can tell you a benefit of halacha is that it's a system. If you don't have this, you're not going to have that benefit. But there are many other benefits from halacha. I mean, the halacha is not, it's not just because of that. Halacha is a highly intellectual system. And the intellectuality of the system itself is of the greatest benefit to man. Like somebody asked me, they said, last week somebody asked me a question, I said, that, okay, so the Rambam says that the purpose of kashrus is to control oneself. So I'll control myself, and I won't eat chazer 5 days out of the week, or whatever. I'll make up my own control. Make up my own control. All the same benefit. First of all, I mean, I'm not going to argue whether this thing is possible, which I don't think is possible, but aside from that, I try to explain to them that the idea of halacha is that a person shouldn't just refrain from something. But it means to say that when a person comes to a question of my cholos asuros, he has to go through the ayadeya to discover whether it's mut or whether it's osa. So the process of limud is not just to refrain, hold yourself back. That's a low level. It means to refrain through an act of involvement of chokhmah, where all the energy is directed towards a whole system of chokhmah. It's a system of knowledge. That should be the essence. That should be the refraining emerges from an involvement in chokhmah. That's the benefit of perfection of Torah. Not simply a refraining. But that's why It's not just a matter of having a system. And more than that, the benefit of Torah is not just a matter of having a system. It'd be a lot of different systems. The benefit of Torah is that it's a system of chacham. And without halacha, there can't be chacham. Halacha has to be a purely... In order to have chacham, it has to be a system which works with its own postulates and its own rules, and there's abstractions, and it's an entire system. It's far removed from the philosophical or ethical motive. It takes off on its own. And that is where the perfection of man lies, and his mind comprehending and understanding the world of Allah. The reason why the person is put like a person, Rabbi Ranos, he only davened once a month. Why? Because he's involved in chokhmah all the time. So it means, or a person is put to tefillah if he's involved in chokhmah all the time. That's true. That's correct. That's right. Why? Because since the whole purpose of the system is to be involved in chokhmah Hashem, the person that's involved in chokhmah all the time, he's involved constantly in chokhmah, he's put from a lot of mitzvahs. Because the mitzvahs are only there as a means to have him involved in wisdom, in God's wisdom. But he's involved in God's wisdom every minute. So therefore he's part of him. That's true. But that's right. That makes sense, though. That makes sense. V'al ma shelo shoma. V'al rishon rishon v'al achron achron. This is his next. The next thing is that he says on that which is first, that which is first he places first, and that which is last he places last. What does that mean? That again is intellectual perfection. It's another form of intellectual perfection. It means organization. Organization. That's what I mean. Organization of ideas. Okay. So really the intellectual perfection is the formula for intellectual perfection is in this mission. I didn't mention the Rambam first, so I'll mention now. The Rambam says, Ve'ena Nivel Lahoshiv, not like the Rabbeinu Yonah, who says, Ena Nivel Lahoshiv means that he demands the utmost clarity to his thought. That's the Rabbeinu Yonah. The Rambam says, Ve'ena Nivel Lahoshiv means differently. It means that the person, when it's funny, he says, when the person hears something sophistical, he can sense right away where the error is, and he can set it straight. Sophistry. Sophistry means arguments that appear to be true but aren't really true. That's sophistry. So sophistry, it comes from the Greeks, but it's really not just... People think of sophistry as a certain era. The Greek period where there were sophists. Sophists were people who used to... He employed to teach people how to argue. Okay, how to argue. But that profession doesn't exist anymore. Maybe it doesn't, they took different forms. But the idea of sophistry is well and thriving. It means that arguments that appear to be correct. Arguments that appear, political arguments, different. Various arguments. I mean, arguments that appear to be correct. Sophistry can exist in every area, Okay? Critiques of Yadus, the sophistry. A lot of sophistry. So it means, what the Rambam says is it means like this. Ena Nivel Lahoshiv means, he learns the word Nivel, not that it means he doesn't hurry to answer. Doesn't come from the word behola, hurry. But there's another word of behola, it means confusion. So really the chacham, the work of the chacham, sophistry is an all-encompassing concept. The work of the chacham is to separate true ideas from sophistical ideas. That's really the work of the chacham. Because a person comes and asks a question and he's all confused, he asks a question, the chacham can pinpoint exactly, can take this question. The wise person can take a question which has a lot of confusion in it, and what he does is he shows the person this question means A, B, C. He breaks it down, and then he starts analyzing the question. He can show him exactly what the question should be, how it is, and he can show him where the true idea lies. So it means, really, all intellectual work is the separation of true ideas from sophistical ideas. That's really what the learning is. Okay, sophistry is a seemingly good idea, and the true idea is the one that that removes the sophistry. Okay? So the Rambam says that the person in the Nivalashiv means that the person instinctively can tell where the refutation to the sophistry, where in the refutation for the sophistry lies. He has an instinctual sense. He can sense right away where the mistake lies. See, that's what the Rambam says. That's Eino Nivala. He is not in a Bahola. He's not Eino Nivala Hashem. Nivala means Bahola. Bahola means confusion. He isn't confused in answering. He could take the confusion. He's an Eino Nivala Hashem. He's not in Nivala. Nivala means Bahola. Confusion. Well, yeah, yes, Bahola means quickly, means speak. But Eino Nivala Hashem means Bahola. It means confusion. He could sense right away. He could sense right away where the answer is. He says, "Vagim kisheyitu mat'e b'melechas hamato'a." He means in sophistry. Lo yivohel v'yishor mesupet be'emes avol yagish mehera l'mokam hato'as v'yivaru. Okay, he right away could sense. It's like the Rav said about Rav Chaim. The Rav said about Rav Chaim about his grandfather. He says when his grandfather would hear a question, he says right away he intuitively know where to go, where the answer is. Okay? So it means, according to the Rambam, it means a development. The mind develops its intuition as it continues to learn. The learning process increases a person's intuition, and after a while, it doesn't take him as long to see through a sophistical argument as it did originally. Because the mind, what does it mean? It means the mind is really in tune with truth. It really has a dimension that perceives the truth. But before a person learns, that dimension of perceiving the truth is involved with a lot of other dimensions of the mind. So the person doesn't really perceive it right away. But after he learns and his mind is improved and he gains knowledge, that sense of reality of where the true idea is increases. His intuition, his intellectual intuition increases. He might not have the answer, you see, but he knows right away where to go. That intuition. That, you can see that becomes a natural part of his nature. Natural part of his nature. I think I mentioned it before. It's like Albert Einstein had great intuition in the world of physics, and when he asked some questions, he used to say to himself, if I were God, how would I work this out? That's the way he used to think. It wasn't audio. He means to say that he could tune into how it really should work. How should physics really be? How should this be worked out in order to have the beauty of the system, of the chokhmah of the system? So in halacha, you have the same thing. It means an intuition, sharp intuition. That's the Rambam. Okay, that's what the Rambam says. So according to the Rambam, intellectual perfection consists of, this is the formula. This Mishnah really gives you the formula for intellectual perfection. And it gives you the formula for perfection in the Mishnah, we'll get to that later. But the formula for the intellectual perfection is it consists of three things. One, the first thing it consists of is when the mind is developed. And this is something that I don't think we have a concept in the world at large of this idea that Yadis really emphasizes. When a person goes to college, and a person gets an education, a modern education, modern-day education, this idea doesn't even exist. The idea is that you aren't really ready to study the subject matter, study the subject. College, the person goes to college, first day of college, what is he missing? He's missing 120 years. Missing X amount of knowledge. That's not what he's missing in Yadis. In Yadis, the first thing he's missing is the development of his mind. The mind is a raw intellect. It has to be developed. He has to learn how to think properly. That's really the basis. That's the basis. To learn proper methodology, to learn how to think. Before you take any subject, the subject has no value if you can't approach it properly. So we, our Masorah, our tradition of knowledge is different. Not simply you need a certain amount of thought. You need to learn how to think properly, how to refine the mechanism of the mind. And that is the work, that's the work, that's the essential work in Torah. That's the essential work in Torah. To refine the mechanism of the mind. And the refined mind expresses itself in these three perfections. One, in intuition, that the person can sense. His sense of intuition is great, and he could immediately see where the sophistical argument is wrong, wherein lies the mistake in the sophistical argument. See through the sophistry. That's number one. The second perfection is that he's shoel kinyan umeshas halacha. It means that he has a knowledge of what the appropriate mode of thought for each subject matter is. He's not confused. He has clear categorical thinking. That's the second perfection. And that the Rambam says a person only gets after chokhmah yaseir, after working for years in the area of chokhmah. That's the second perfection. And the third perfection, the last one, is al rishon rishon al achron achron, and that is organization of material. That really is, this Mishnah really tells us what our Masorah is for a perfected intellect. It has very little to do with how much he knows. This is really an interesting thing. Not how many facts he knows, but the way his mind is works. That's really that's the mark of the Chacham. That's the mark of the Chacham. He has a good memory. I mean, of course, he has vast amount of knowledge, and he's able to avail himself in the process of learning of tremendous sources. But if he doesn't, it doesn't mean that he's not a chacham. It doesn't mean he's not a chacham. And the chacham is dependent upon how his mind is perfected. That's what the mission says. There's one thing I want to mention, and that is for the fellows in chinuch. And that is, with regard to the last perfection, which is the organization. The organization. You see? The organization. So, he says, the Rabbeinu Yonah says, V'zeme chokhmo gedola v'hovein ha'dvarim ho. He says, this comes from tremendous chokhmah, to be able to organize something properly. And that's why I often tell Talmudim, the guys that are giving shiurim, Talmudim and Yeshiva that are giving shiurim, a lot of times they feel if they're giving a shiur to youngsters that they're not gaining as much. They're giving a shiur to a ninth grader. So why am I really gaining and learning? I could be giving a shiur to a college fellow, to a guy that's in base medicine. I'd be gaining so much more. It'd be so much more challenging. Mistake. Wrong. Because when you give a shiur to a youngster, I don't care who, as long as he's capable of understanding an idea, even a 13-year-old, a 14-year-old, capable of understanding an idea, in order for you to present that idea to that young person, it requires many times greater work on organization than if you're giving a shiur to a group of lamdani. It requires greater work on organization. Because for a young mind, in order for him to be able to appreciate these thoughts, you have to organize it properly. Organization is the main thing. So it's very hard. It's a lot of work. But that work is really like the Rabbeinu Yonah says. Rabbeinu Yonah says, he says that kind of work is chokhmah gedola. And the hoven advan, it comes from a real understanding. People don't like to take the pains. A lot of times, I have the idea, I have it right. If you really take the pains to organize it properly, you'll see there's a tremendous benefit, first of all, in seeing the ideas, and secondly, many times the greatest ideas emerge from when it's organized properly. And you really see those ideas. That's why if you take, for instance, not in the world of Torah, you take, for instance, in the world of mathematics, you take Euclid's propositions in geometry. The genius of Euclid was his organization. It's not that he proved the Pythagorean theorem at the end of the first book. He could prove it right away. A person could prove it, you could take a high school kid and prove the Pythagorean theorem. But the way he proved the Pythagorean theorem, the 49 steps, and within each step, every one is organized perfectly. Perfect organization. Precision in organization. Simple steps, but this one goes before this, and that one goes after this. Organization. That's the greatness. The Grah, it's mentioned that the Grah had his Talmud translate the works of Euclid into Hebrew. So why did he do it? Because he felt that it exemplified precision of thought. precision of thought in terms of organization is very important. So that's why I say that a Talmud of the Yeshiva, a Rebbe, Talmud of the Yeshiva that's giving the Shia, shouldn't think to himself, I'm giving the Shia for ninth grade, it's so easy. Not so easy. Requires greater emphasis on organization. Organization is one of the most important parts of Chochma in terms of development, in terms of seeing the ideas clearly, in terms of opening up. It's an opening for new ideas also, organization. But if you're not going to work in organization, of course, you say, look, I could be giving a shift for great time to get Chochma, and I'm wasting my time. It's not a waste of time. It's a mistake. And the reason why you don't gain from giving a shift to youngsters is because you don't care, because you can get away with it, so you don't care really so much about the organization. But if you really wanted to make it a shiur that is most appreciated by them, you have to work very hard in organization. Saying it's important in terms of your own thinking. That's what I mean. In terms of your own thinking, it's extremely important. It perfects your own thinking. That's the third dimension. That's Meshiva, Rishon, Rishon, Lachon, Lachon. Organization. Extremely important. I'll tell you. The Rav one time told somebody that, he mentioned somebody, he says that I work harder on the organization of my shiur than on the ideas of the shiur. That's what he said. So you see, it's important. Proper organization comes from a proper understanding of the ideas themselves. Because when you understand the ideas really well, it should fall into an order. It should fall into an order. If it doesn't fall into an order, it means you don't really have your grasp on the ideas. It's still not 100%.